Hello, welcome to Walking Wisely. On this program, I interview a fellow believer who is willing to share with us some of their personal testimony along with steps that they have taken in learning to walk wisely with our Heavenly King Jesus. I'm Anne-Marie, your host, and this is episode 12. Isaiah 51:16, the NIV version, God spoke this through Isaiah. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand. Well, my guest today grew up with a challenging childhood. She had much pain of loss as a child and without hearing a single word from God. But she has a wonderful story about how, having discovered God's word in her youth, that God did turn her life around and has covered her with his hand. Welcome to the program today, Kobe.
Thank you. Morning, Anatomy. It's good to be here.
Good to have you, Kobe. Let's start your story off from your birth. Can you tell us where you were born and a little bit about your parents?
I was born in South Africa, raised there. To me, it seems like we were a happy family, although it was nothing about God or Christianity or the Bible ever in my life. And my mom passed away at the age of 32, and I was 10 years old. I had an older sister and two younger brothers, and because my dad couldn't cope, we were put first with my grandma and them, and then the girls went to a boarding school about 90 miles from. That's where we were, seven, I guess.
Wow, and you were only 10 years old at the time, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you said that when your mom was on her deathbed, you weren't allowed to say goodbye before she died. Is that right?
That's right. We weren't allowed to visit her the last week or two before she passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Kobe. That seems so tragic for a child. Your growing up years must have been emotionally challenging for you. Did you get any support of your losses while living at the boarding house?
No, it was just the routine. Get up in the morning, make your bed, go and eat, go to school, nothing in between.
So tell us, what was it like growing up at the boarding house?
It was a challenge. I was quite lonely and made one friend, but that was not always enough, especially with the hurt you're going through and the loneliness.
And you said that it was a co-ed boarding house, was it? Like it was boys and girls together?
No, it was just the girls were separate and the boys were in their own boarding house.
And that was grade 8 to 12, right?
Yes.
That you attended the board. And you said your dad never visited you while you were living there?
No, I can't recall it. I know we occasionally, my sister and myself, went home by train. And that was quite a journey.
Oh, it's too far away, was it? So then you and your sister were separated, apparently. Where did your sister go?
Well, at that time, the education system changed. And you could either go to university or to a trade school. And she decided not university, so we were separated again. I didn't see her those years. Separated, and after that I went into nursing, and we were separated, and then I got married, and we were still separated. I haven't seen her in years.
I guess that sadness tide turned for you at one time in your youth still, because you met your future husband. Tell us about the happier side of your childhood, Kobe.
Amen.
Yes.
And was it ever happy?
Nice.
And I went to high school. In those years, the classes, you had a class and you changed classes between subjects.
Right.
And on a Tuesday morning, the first period, I had math class. And my hubby had math class the second period. We had to change classes. We had to pass each other.
Right.
And it's still up to today a question. Was I the one that winked at him, or was he the one that winked at me? Whatever it was, we were just married 61 years, so I guess it worked out good.
Beautiful. He had a lot of siblings. He had seven siblings?
That's right.
And they were a Christian family, right?
Beautiful. They were real role models.
Nice.
Of what Christianity is all about.
Uh-huh. And you'd gone to Sunday dinners and they were praying over the meals. And they had gone to church so much. You asked why they were going to church so much.
Yeah. So, 3 times a week.
Oh, my gosh. That's too many. So you followed Leslie and his family to church. Tell us about that Easter message that you heard one time that changed everything for you, Kobe. Mm.
So we went to church, and it was a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Easter weekend. And Sunday morning was the story about Jesus I've never heard before, but how it was the crucifixion and how those days there was an option to release one criminal. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they released Barabbas, but said they want to crucify Jesus. So mm-hmm. the people had to make a decision. They had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the message, the altar call came. Mm-hmm. And it was asked, who do you want to serve, Jesus or the world, Barabbas? Mm-hmm. You'll have to make a decision. And I know at that moment, I was ready to accept Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
And I responded to the altar call. And needless to say, right from that minute, everything has become new. Absolutely.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen. So that was about when you were 18, right?
Right, yeah.
Was Leslie also baptized with you?
No, he was already.
So then you and Leslie were married. Tell us about coming to Canada in 1971.
Well, we weren't really planning to come, mm-hmm. but it was in our radar mm-hmm. that, well, maybe it'll be nice, we're young, to travel. And friends of ours really wanted to come to Canada. So uh-huh. we got together, discussed it. Okay, we made a decision for home, and we will put the house on the market uh-huh. and just see what the Lord is working out.
Nice.
And we got home, put the house on the market, and within 2 weeks, it was sold. So we know, okay, that's the clear green light. We're ready to go.
Amen. So you felt the Lord leading you to
yeah.
Canada, and I guess you arrived in Vancouver. Tell us that story.
Oh my goodness, that's an unforgettable story. Well, we landed on Vancouver Airport. Uh-huh. We didn't know anybody here, no work, no place to live, uh-huh. only by faith. So we landed here, and on Vancouver Airport, there is telephones that's connected directly to the hotels. And in this case, it was Vancouver Hotel.
Right.
And my husband thought, well, Vancouver Hotel must be in Vancouver, and that's where we want to be.
Right.
So he phoned them. Yep, they got reservations for bookings, and we made it for the night. And we arrived there uh-huh. 1 o'clock in the morning, just to realize this is the hotel where prime ministers go, not poor immigrants.
It was nice for the night, was it?
Well, short night.
Yes. So after that, yes, you were living in other motels mm-hmm. while you were trying to find work, and you and Leslie ended up in Britannia Beach. How did God lead you both there?
We boarded with somebody.
I see.
Beautiful Christians too.
Amen.
And Leslie went that day around to kind of put his resume down. Mm-hmm. He was out and about. And I was home, and it was a phone call from Britannia Beach Copper Mine.
Ah.
And they were looking for an electrician that can start immediately. And will I give Leslie the message? So I did. He came home. I gave him the message. The next day, he went in for the interview. Got to work.
Yeah. And that was that. So you both settled there. You must have been feeling homesick being so far away from home. So had you connected with a family church there?
First I connected with a lady that had a gas station, operated a gas station mm-hmm. in Britannia Beach.
I see.
And they were real great born-again Christians. And
nice.
Took us under their wing mm-hmm. and invited us to church. That was the start.
And that was the church in Squamish, was it?
Well, they went to the Baptist church, but we went to the Squamish Pentecostal church.
I see.
Yeah.
But that there were no attendees at that church, right?
No. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it was my hubby, myself, and Mabel and Colin.
And your kids, right?
Yeah.
So you settled a church there, and you raised your two children, Mabel, who was 6, and Colin, who was 3 at the time. But when they were older, they chose to move back to South Africa, where suddenly you were feeling that loss of family again. Tell us about that.
It's pretty traumatic. They were just going to go to South Africa for 3 weeks holiday to be with the family during Christmas.
I see.
When the 3 weeks was up, we called them and says, okay, what's your flight number? When you're coming back? When should we pick you up at the airport? And this is what they said. Dad, sorry, we're not coming home again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a shock. But we thought they'd get over it.
But this time you had God to comfort you. Amen. So tell us, knowing how God changed that outlook on losing your kids and your grandchildren to have moved so far away from you.
At that time I was working at Lionsgate Hospital. Uh-huh. So it's about an hour drive. So
right.
That hour is me and the Lord. And
yes.
It's just great times.
Nice.
And I remember praying that morning going to work. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. But please get this family together again.
Amen.
And then my prayer changed. And I said, Lord, well, why are they there? I just pray that they will be obedient to your voice.
Oh.
Whatever you want, that's good for them.
Nice.
And the Lord reminded me and says, Kobe, you're praying 2 different prayers.
Huh.
One is bring them back. The other one is keep them there, but let them be obedient.
Right.
And I literally put my hands in front of me off the steering wheel and I said, okay, Lord, they're yours.
And you let go.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I let go. A joy flooded my soul. And although it was still painful, but it was not that hurt I had before.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
So your kids were married and eventually they did move back. So God answered your prayers, although 20 years later, but your faith held you, and Colin and Mabel did move back to Canada with their children.
Amen.
So, amen, Kobe. How many grandchildren do you have now?
3. Mabel has got 2, and Colin has got 1.
Beautiful. So, your life here in Canada, you grew in faith by learning to really lean into growing with God and His Word, and you have learned to walk wisely by staying close to God. Tell us what your number one priority is now.
I want to please the Lord 24/7, and to please Him, I must walk in faith.
Yes.
There's no compromise, there's no if and buts. You want to walk by faith, you cannot question God.
Yes.
You believe Him, you know that His Word is the final authority.
Amen.
I can give my opinion, or somebody else gives their opinion or input, but the bottom line is God's Word is the final authority. It's the faith. Yeah,
yes.
It's just my life. I love it.
Amen. And you said something really neat to me. You said, you must be really close to hear His small, still voice. I've always struggled with Psalm 46:10, be still and know that He is God. Tell us that story you shared with me about a moment that you had in learning what it is to be still.
It was an incident, too, that I worked at Lionsgate Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And I was head nurse there, and there was a care aide, Sandra. She was a fantastic care aide. Her work ethics was just so good. Patients loved her. However, she had very high inferiority complex. She was on her 3rd marriage and was struggling. And I didn't know about her private life, but I just felt that still small voice told me, just give Sandra a nice Mother's Day card and put an X amount of dollars in a card.
Nice.
And when he said X amount of dollars, I thought, I better not question the Lord because He knows what He's doing.
Right.
So I got the card, I put the money in, and I gave it to Sandra. After that, she was a few days off, and she came back. And after morning report, she asked me, please, if I got a minute, can she come and see me? Sure. So she comes into my office, we sat down, and then she just wanted to share with me that act of that card and those few dollars I gave her restore her faith.
Amen.
In human beings.
Lovely.
She was going to a psychiatrist at that time for treatment.
Wow.
And on her mind was, this is useless, she's good, nobody cares, she's gonna just take her life.
Oh.
But that card and those few dollars changed it completely.
Amen. Yeah. That's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to be obedient. You just never know how the Lord is going to use you to change a life another, right? Mm-hmm. So you moved to Creston. I guess you were living with Colin in Chilliwack at the time, and you visited a cousin who was living here. Tell us that story, how you came to Creston.
Well, she and her hubby lived in Squamish.
I see.
But then they moved here after retirement, and she called us to tell us what a beautiful place this is. She's so happy, and we should come and check it out and visit with her.
Lovely.
Which we did. And we were here, I don't know, a few days. Mm-hmm. And we really liked the area. And we went home, so we told Colin about it, our son.
Yes.
And then he said he want to come and check it out too. So Leslie and Colin came up. Colin checked it out, went home, and Leslie asked Colin, so what do you think of Creston? He says, Dad, I'm moving here with my family next year in May.
Amen. So now you're even closer together here as part of the community and part of our Grace family. What are you up to these days, Kobe?
We're trying to exercise hospitality, actually.
Lovely.
I don't think I mentioned that before. But
well,
I
you did say you were cooking, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just have people over, build up relationships, minister to them.
Nice.
It's mainly our purpose right now.
I see. And so I guess to bring this full circle in your story, you quoted this. You said, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. What did you mean by that?
I love it. Isn't that a great
word? It's beautiful. I get the picture.
I guess if you're trying to believe or have faith or walk in faith, the challenge is just to believe.
Yes.
Just do it.
Yes.
Do that phone call. Do that visit. Send a card. It's all by faith.
Yes.
No matter what's the outcome or so on, you do it. You're obedient. Mm-hmm. Step out in faith. That's my challenge for you. Step out of your boat.
It's a beautiful challenge. And like you said, you have to be very close so that you can hear that small, still voice. Yes, amen. Well, you know, God has brought your life full circle too, because your story is beautiful. And I really love the part about where your mother-in-law phoned the pastor to talk to your dad, who was on his deathbed and has come out of a coma. Can you just share that message? Because it's really a beautiful full circle story.
So when I became a Christian, I tried to witness to my dad and encourage him. But he always believed God cannot forgive him. He's done too many wrong things. So then because we moved down to the coast, which was quite far from my parents after we married.
Yes.
And then my dad just got worse and he got cirrhosis of the liver. Then he went into what they call an alcoholic coma.
Yes.
And he was in hospital in a coma, okay? Mm-hmm. So now it's just waiting for him to pass away. When my mother-in-law said, can she phone the pastor and ask him to visit my dad?
Lovely.
And she did. Pastor visited him. And the pastor was by my dad's bedside, praying, talking to him, ministering, whatever. And miraculously, my dad came out of the coma. Absolutely a miracle. And pastor explained to him forgiveness, salvation. And then my dad accepted the Lord, asked forgiveness and salvation. And then the next day, the pastor went back to visit him. My dad's name was John. He says, so John, before I go, is there anything that you would like me to pray for you? And my dad says, no, I'm forgiven. I'm ready to go home. So,
And then he passed away. Oh, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story, Kobe. It's just really evident of how God has had you under his hand and protected you, even though you did grow up without the beginning of knowing Him in faith. Thank you so much for coming in, Kobe. It's a pleasure to have you.
Great. And I hope somebody is encouraged to step out in faith.
Amen. I hope you will join me next time when together we will glean more wisdom from my next Walking Wisely guest. Psalm 119, verse 106 states this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a guide unto my path." So pick up your Bible and read it so that you too can feel God cover you with the love of knowing Him through His word. Now that is some wise advice. I'm Anne-Marie, your host. Thank you so much for joining my guest, Kobe, and I today. May God bless you to look to Jesus, to walk closely and wisely so that you hear His voice in the coming days.